Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Summer of Peace 2012 Telesummit. And this is a real delight to introduce this Sunday series. It's called Spirituality and Peace. And this series is being created by the Gaia Field, in partnership with the Gaia Field Project. And it's just a beautiful vision that helps to recognize that there are many different spiritual traditions around the world that are really focusing on harnessing the power of meditation and prayer to contribute to peace building. And this is such a valuable part of the peace process. And I would like to introduce our partner, David Nickel. He is a PhD graduate from the Center for Subtle Activism at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco. He has recently done his doctoral dissertation on subtle activism, the inner dimension of social transformation, and which is the first comprehensive academic treatment on the topic. David is just a real pioneer in this area. He's really a champion at looking at just really documenting the power of subtle activism and organizing groups around the world. David's originally from Australia, and he's a lawyer from Australia, which is now lives in Berkeley, California, with his wife Kate and dog Jackson. So, David, thank you, and thank you for creating this series.
Thanks so much, Philip. It's really wonderful to be at this moment of launching the series. Welcome, everybody. We're really excited about this series. And I would like to just say a few words here to share the vision of this series. On June 22, we opened this field of peace with a global attunement for peace that linked multiple hub sites around the world and had hundreds of people calling in from their own homes. The vision for this series is that each call will feature a mystic, a spiritual teacher, an elder from a different spiritual tradition, and will contribute to this field of peace that we're building through the summer by adding a unique spiritual flavor, unique spiritual qualities from each of these traditions, and that thereby we can grow this spiritually diverse field of peace throughout the summer. We're very interested in the role, the potential of harnessing the power of our collective meditation and prayer to support change in the world, to support the shift to a culture of peace, not as a substitute for all the other changes that need to happen, but as a crucial foundation for all of those changes. And so I'm very excited this morning to be leading off with our guest speaker, who, Philip, I know you'll introduce in a moment, but Dr. Ariaratne is a hero of mine and a pioneer in this field of using collective spiritual practice to support real change in the world. And so we're just delighted to embark on this experiment in building a very rich and diverse field of peace through the series, and the heart of each call is going to be a spiritual practice. We're going to be really entering into a deep space together, and so I'm just very excited and thankful to be at this point. So back over to you, Philip. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. And David, again, I just want to acknowledge your pioneering efforts here and really appreciate how you and your team have created this Sunday series. And this is a real honor to introduce Dr. A.T. Ariyante. He is the founder and president of Sri Lanka's Sarvodaya Ramadan movement, a nonprofit that involves millions of people in 15,000 villages, over 15,000 villages in development projects. He's a former teacher at Sri Lanka's Nalanda College. Dr. Ariyante conducted the first work camp to share time, resources, thoughts, energies, and labor in 1958. The Sarvodaya's movement's reputation has just grown and just spread worldwide. He's energized villages to collaborate to build more than 7,000 preschools, community health centers, libraries, cottages, industries. He's established thousands of village banks, thousands of wells and latrines, and the list goes on and on. And he's also led some of the world's largest peace marches and meditations to address the conflict the previous conflict in Sri Lanka, with over 650,000 people gathering in Sri Lanka in 2002 and nearly 1 million in October 2006. Dr. Arianti has won a number of international recognitions. And Dr. Arianti, I just want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is a very great opportunity. I get to share some of my experiences and thoughts with you.
Beautiful.
Yes. Please, yes. Go ahead.
You've done so much practical work, and you've also really integrated the personal journey to peace building, the spiritual part. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey as a peace builder and how you've really integrated the spiritual meditation component into your peace building work?
Yes. Actually, unless we are as individual human beings build peace within ourselves, we cannot contribute very much to build peace outside us or in the world. So the first step should be to look at ourselves and see whether we are in good physical health, we are in good emotional health, we are in good mental health, and whether we are in good spiritual health. So each of these four should be taken into consideration, and we should first look within ourselves. So during the last, maybe, now I am 81 years old, though I say that I'm only 18. During this period, maybe from my 16th year, while I was still a student, I had a strong conviction that unless you have a spiritual foundation to your personality, you cannot contribute very much to the outside world or society or even your family. Therefore, while we do all kinds of work outside us, say good work, simultaneously within ourselves, there should be a transformation where we can have healthy bodies, healthy emotions, healthy mental health, and spiritual health. So, in our tradition, to make an individual have this kind of inner well-being, we were asked to follow four important principles that Buddha has taught us. First principle is, any human being who is desirous of spiritual liberation, or who is desirous of getting maximum joy of living, such individuals should practice four qualities in their day-to-day life. First one is always develop loving kindness towards all beings, not only human beings. Loving kindness towards all beings. So, this loving kindness is explained in detail in a special sutra taught by the Buddha to meditational monks in jungles. It's called Metta Sutra, or Discourse on Loving Kindness. In that discourse, he mentioned that the entire living, sentient living beings could be divided into five categories. One, based on fear. People who are in fear and people who are not in fear. Secondly, people, the beings who are very, very small or very, very large or medium, say, by their size. Thirdly, whether a being is close to you or very far away from you. Fourthly, whether you can see a being or you can't see, not within sight. Lastly, those who are already being born and those who are yet to be born. So these five categories of living beings should be our objective to extend our loving kindness, our wish that may they be well and happy. May they have no fear in their minds. May they not have any pain or suffer like that. And we are being asked to develop this quality of loving kindness towards all beings to the extent that a mother loves and protects her one and only child at the risk of her life. In other words, that is the extreme to which we have been asked to practice loving kindness. So, loving kindness or metta is the first quality that one has to develop within oneself. Secondly, whatever we do in day-to-day life, we do all kinds of things. Maybe I'm a teacher. Now, I started my life as a teacher. So whenever I go to the college to teach, on my way even, I may think of the students, the weakest ones particularly, and think how best I could contribute to help these children to learn. In other words, once you go to your classroom or once you have your students and teach them, then you should be able to convert or think about that teaching as a translation of your loving kindness into compassionate action. So teaching becomes not a job or something done to get a salary or some kind of income, but it is an expression of loving kindness in action. Similarly, a doctor treating the patients, certainly he receives money, but that should not be his main objective, his or main objective. It should be compassionate action. Similarly, whatever work we do, it may be cleaning the road. We are a cleaner. We clean toilets, kitchen, lavatories, or do gardening. Whatever we do for our living, we should take it as an expression of loving kindness in the form of compassionate action. So whatever is not compassionate action is not right livelihood. That should be avoided. Manufacturing and selling armaments, manufacturing poisons, manufacturing earning money by wrong means, drugs and all that is not right livelihood, and there you can't have compassionate action in that kind of a livelihood. So the second quality is compassionate action. Thirdly, when you do that kind of compassionate action, or what we call karuna in Pali language, you get a joy, a very dispassionate, altruistic joy, joy of living. Now, I used to take hundreds of students and teachers to the poorest rural areas and help those people to get good drinking water by digging and constructing wells for them, building water reservoirs for them so that they can get water to their rice fields, or opening roads to their villages so that they can have access to schools, hospitals, and markets. So all that kind of voluntary donation of labor, voluntary donation of knowledge, skills, all that is compassionate action, because as a human being, I have to convert the loving kindness, which is a quality within me, into compassionate action. And at the end of it, I get a lot of joy when I see other people living and benefiting from them and they being happy. Now, when you do this kind of work in a competitive world, in a world where greed is so well organized, in a world where people think acquisition of power and money is what is needed to succeed in life, not happiness, not the joy of living, in such a world, when you do this type of thing, people treat you with indifference first. After that, they begin to ridicule what you are doing. Then people begin to abuse, saying that you are doing it not with an honest objective or something like that. Then they begin to prosecute you. In other words, even put you in jail or even kill you. So when you do something which is not in the area of acquisition of power or wealth or publicity or something like that, such people find it very difficult to operate in this society. But we did it. Therefore, we were able to develop a fourth quality, equanimity, ability to get name and blame, loss and gain, all that with equal detachment, or what we may call equanimity. Now, these four qualities of loving kindness, compassionate action, altruistic joy, and equanimity are the four qualities we have to develop as human beings if we are to awaken our personality to the fullest. Then, when we work as a group, there are similar traditional principles we were asked to adhere to. Firstly, practice sharing. Learn to share your knowledge, your skills, whatever you have with other people, so that sharing becomes one of the attributes of group behavior, group conduct. Secondly, always use truth, pleasant language. Never use untruth. Never use words that will bring enmity between two people. Never engage yourself in frivolous talk. In other words, whenever you speak something, it must have some meaning. It should not be just gossiping. Similarly, you should not use cruel and angry words. You should be very pleasant in your language. And then, equality in association. Now, we have five fingers. They are not equal. But there is equality when you look at it qualitatively. Quantitatively, they may not be of the same length. But qualitatively, they are equal. So that kind of equality in association we have when we work as members of a family or a community. So our tradition tells us these four principles of sharing, pleasant speech, constructive activity, and equality in association should be followed. Constructive activity is abstaining from drinking alcohol or taking drugs or abstaining from gambling or anything that is not morally good. Morally does not lead to our awakening personalities. So these four qualities are for social conduct. So we have a set of traditions for individual awakening, similarly for group awakening. Then when we have to live as a community, because we very, very, very strongly believe, even in this 21st century, we have to build peace by building individuals, families and communities who can live in peace. So the entire global community, all the communities in our countries, whether we are rural or urban, if we can maintain a very, very high degree of peace at those three levels, the individual, the family, and the community level, then we can be assured that there will be world peace. So, we followed seven traditional principles of community behavior. In very briefly, I'll mention these seven factors. First is meet in peace, discuss in peace, and disperse in peace. Number two, meet as frequently as possible, the community. Thirdly, respect all beliefs or all religions that you may have in the community. Do not violate any of those traditional principles that contribute to peace and peace among people. Then invite to the community those who are educated, those who are spiritually matured, and get their wisdom given to the community. Then those laws that cannot be obeyed should not be imposed on the community. Those laws that are practiced should be continued, and no new law should be brought in unless can practice them. So, lastly, a community of people like this should be able to continue with various traditional ceremonies they have had. So, these seven factors help us to live as a community and to live in peace, like the peace circles or we have among some of the North American communities who sit round in a circle and they discuss one after the other so that all their problems can be solved. We have such kind of family gatherings in our 15,000 villages in Sri Lanka where we are working.
Dr. Ariente, this is so beautiful. And the fact that you've been doing this for decades now involving thousands of villages is just truly...
54 years.
Well, you describe all of it so simply, so straightforward. It makes sense. And just so you know, yesterday I was at a Buddhist festival with the Buddha's relics there, so the Buddhist vibration is very strong right now. Dr. Ariente, could you describe a simple technique that you use that you would be able to guide us through?
Yes. Well, I think all of you listening to me should join me. We will do it together. Only difference is while you remain silent, I'll be speaking, guiding you according to what I believe does not belong to any religion as such, though it was founded on the Buddha's teachings of awakening of all, and there is no sectarian ideas in this. So we'll do a kind of few minutes of meditation together. First thing is sit in a proper manner. If you are seated on a chair, keep your two feet on the ground. Keep your back erect so that you don't bend down. Don't lean against your chair. Keep your back erect and say your nose, the chin, and the chest coming in one line. Please keep your back erect. Close your eyes very lightly, not tightly, but lightly. Observe your breathing in and out for a few seconds. breathe normally, but bring the mind and look at breathing in and breathing out. Mindfully, you are breathing in and breathing out. You watch the behavior or the breath. From the moment we were born till we die, we breathe in and out, but we don't normally find time to look at this breathing. Now here we are trying to mentally, mindfully look at this breathing. Keep the mind only at breathing and breathing out. Don't allow it to run away. Though your eyes are closed, still images may appear in your mental eye. Don't get attached to those images. Just look at breathing in and breathing out. Bring the mind back to breathing in and breathing out whenever something tries to disturb from your eyes. Similarly, when you hear any sounds, don't follow it up. Don't try to find from where this sound came, whose sound it is. Just let it go and bring back your mind to breathing in and out. Similarly, if you get any taste in your tongue or any smell in your nose, don't try to find out from where they came. Just let them go. If you feel anything in your body, look at it, think it's a feeling, and let it go. Bring the mind back to breathing in out. Sometimes thoughts may come to your mind. Sometimes memories will come to your mind. Just think a memory, and let it go now. My interest is only breathing in and out and not getting disturbed by the six senses, including the mind. Keep the mind at breathing in and out. Now our mind is concentrated. In breathing in and breathing out, we mindfully breathe in and mindfully breathe out. Now we come to a second stage slowly. Bring our mind to the top of our head and start scanning the whole body from head to foot. Start looking at the body. This body which I claim to be mine is really coming together of earth or hardness, water or liquidity, fluidity, air or expandability and contractibility, heat in space, I know that these five elements combine to make my body, which I claim to be mine, and the bodies of all the other people, and all the living and non-living objects we have outside us. So this body is a part of nature. While I know that this body is very temporary, it does not last even a moment because these five elements change every moment. It's happening so fast but so slowly, externally we cannot see it. It takes a long time to see. I scan through the body from head, forehead area, eyes, nose, tongue, neck, chest, hands. Abdomen area, legs and all that. For a few minutes we scan the body, realizing that it's a combination of heat, hardness, air, water, in space. It has no substantiality, no permanence. Subject to change. I am a living body. I call it a living body because I have a mind. I have a consciousness. The consciousness is gone. I'm dead. How does this consciousness come about? Normally when my eyes are open, all kinds of images strike my eye. And those contacts make sensations, sensitize my eyes. I perceive different objects. Contact, sensation, perceptions come in. And perceptions immediately give rise to all kinds of thoughts. If it's a pleasant, beautiful object, I want to possess it, attract it to myself. If it's not attractive, then I let it go, distracted from it. So I will neither try to have it or refuse it, look at it. Any equanimity. If I don't do it, volitions are created, and these volitions go and create the consciousness. Similarly, the ear contacts, ear sensations, ear perceptions, ear volitions, they contribute to the consciousness. In that manner, all the five senses and the mind itself contribute to feeding the consciousness. When the consciousness is full of greed, as is happening in the world today, full of ill will, both based on ignorance, because we knew this body is made up of these components and there is no I factor there. and nothing permanent. Similarly, I know now how the thoughts are formed by contact, sensations, perceptions, etc. But there is no I there. But because of our ignorance of reality, we attach an I factor, I, mine, you, he, she, like that. We get completely separated from one another. So oneself, we are alienated even from our own selves. Therefore, with breathing in, I started. I scan my body now. And this mindfulness gives me a lot of physical, emotional, mental calmness, leading to a high level of spiritual energy. With this energy, I extend loving kindness to all the members of my family, all those who come to my mind, to all those who are participating in our meditation just now, all over the world. We extend this loving kindness, this compassion towards the entire humanity, and we wish the entire humanity to be affected by the synergy, the collective energy that we generate by this meditation. And may all those people reduce whatever attachments, the greed, clinging they have to worldly things or wrong views. May all of them understand that everything is impermanent and changes. If we attach ourselves with greed to those that change, it brings about ill will within us, which poisons our own body and mind, and it pollutes the entire psychosphere around us and in the world. So I shall try to progressively reduce my attachments, my greed, my ill will and ignorance, and evolve myself towards full enlightenment. Starting with mindfulness or sati, learning to look at human beings as well as other living beings as mind-body components, beginning to see the five senses and the results of those sensory perceptions, etc. Forming their own, what we call individual personalities, begin to see everybody with sympathy and kindness and inclusiveness. May the whole world be well and happy. May not any human being exploit or cheat other human beings. May no human being do any harm to others. May all help one another. May all develop loving kindness and compassionate action to help those who are in need, and learn to live in joy every moment of our life. Let the whole society be full of joy, not only lack of violence or lack of conflict, but full of joy. May the entire society be well and happy. Thank you. You may open your eyes now, slowly, and move your limbs mindfully, not just opening the eyes, thinking I'm opening my eyes, I'm shifting my hands or my legs, etc. Thank you.
Dr. Arantu.
Yes.
I want to deeply, deeply thank you.
Yeah.
I must admit, feel so peaceful that words don't feel necessary. thank you. Thank you, Dr. Arantu. And what we'd like to do now is to invite people on the call if they'd like to share anything about their experience, or if they have questions. They can press star 2, or
yes.
If they're on the webcast, they can also just type in any comments. And this can be a comment about what your experience is during the meditation, as well as any questions or comments. So please go ahead and press star 2 on the phone, or to go ahead and type in your questions on the webcast. And we have one question here, Dr. Arantu, from Dylan in South Portland. From Portland.
Portland,
I believe it's probably Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple question, and building upon the experience here with the meditation, what can I do to spread peace? How can I take this experience and meditation into the world?
Well, there are several ways you can do it. One is, as individuals, have a fixed time, maybe in the morning or before you go to bed, or both in the morning and evening, at least half an hour. And try to go through these 5 stages I try to take you all through. Now, these are very, very simple meditation, not a complicated insight meditation. So real meditation to develop wisdom is insight meditation, what is called vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation helps us to go deeper into the contemplation of the body, the thoughts, emotions, and all kinds of thought forms that come to us. But here, this is a simple exercise in breathing, mindful breathing, mindfully looking at the body, and also mindfully looking at the power mind has over everything. Mind is supreme. Mind is the forerunner. In other words, to practice that and then convert it to loving kindness and make it into a kind of an energy. Because our world itself is a bundle of energy, all kinds of energies. Unless we have constructive energies, positive energies, energies that do not pollute our environment, do not destroy our ecological systems, do not bring about dissensions among people, do not bring about economic and other disparities, do not bring about dictatorships and violation of human rights, then we cannot live in this world. So we try to influence all those sectors by individually practicing in the morning and evening, and then, of course, during your daytime, after all, your mind is yours, nobody knows what you are thinking. Extend loving kindness all the time towards everybody and every living thing. And then, collectively, we can have our own meditational circles, groups, in our own neighborhoods, in our own areas we are living, and then generate for that community and, of course, the world later. So that will be very, very effective. Now, in my case, as I'm doing a 15,000 village development program and also a country which till recent times, till 2 years ago, was undergoing a very unnecessary bloodshed war created by politicians, we had to have mass-scale meditation from a few hundred to a few thousands, going even up to nearly a million people. And we had to do it, walking meditation, all kinds of meditation. So because we can meditate either seated or standing or walking or lying down. Keep mindfully in these postures. So that way, and this we should not ignore, the most advanced communication technology we have today, like the radio as well as the television, use them for good things, to influence people, make people start looking inwards and finding out who they are, who am I, how can I contribute to, rather than becoming a part of the problems in our society, to become a part of the solution. Therefore, it could be practiced according to that environment by anybody, any group.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Dr. Ariente. We have a question here from Michelle in France. Michelle says, such a peaceful and beautiful meditation. Thank you, Dr. Ariente. Do you believe that if some of us use meditation deeply like this every day, we can help to bring about peace in troubled places like Syria?
Yes, you can. You can. One thing is you must be determined. Now I'll give you one example which I don't mind telling you. For example, 2 years ago, I gave up everything I had physically. No land, no money. But one day in the morning, after my meditation hour, just as I was trying to get up, I heard my mother telling me, "My son, you made me two promises. One, to put up a school for some children who had not enough accommodation, which you did. I put up a 12 classrooms, spending quite a lot of money. Then second thing he wanted me to do was to put up a stupa for the temple where she was observing her, what we call the 8 precepts every full moon day. That I couldn't do. So my mother had died about 20 years ago, and last 20 years of her life, her spiritual practices were done at this temple. So I said, Mother, I am senseless. Now I have given away everything because I wanted to lead a full spiritual life. Then Mother, no, go ahead. You can still do it. That was 20 months ago. And today, I have done, that stupa plus the meditation hall plus two or three other features necessary for a spiritual environment I have built, because from within a week I started getting, I got two international awards, all those monies from Japan and India I donated to this stupa building fund, and I have already finished about 75% of that purely without asking from anybody. I was able to get it only during my meditation. Similarly, when there was bloodshed going on, I was not only going to those areas without any security, but with my own spiritual kind of armament. That's the great love for the people of both sides who are fighting. So if you develop that kind of thought, I'm sure you will get the material as well as other resources to bring about peace. So one thing is, make up your mind and have great determination within yourself. I can do it, and I'm doing the right thing. I'm sure you will succeed.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Ariente. I'd like to see if David Nickel has any comments at this point also to add in. David?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Philip. And just feeling just really happy and grateful, and just feeling the deep relaxation from the meditation, but also Dr. Ariaratnam, just so touched by your it's not just the relaxation, but the whole quality of being and the moral example that you provide. Anyway, I'm just feeling very happy, and I don't feel like I have a question right now. It's more just a state of celebration, really, that we are in this field together. So, thank you.
David, I wish you, now I will remember this interview in time to come. So please remember, whether I come on your communication line or not, in my thoughts, whatever you are doing in this field I will be sending my own energies for your success, because I believe that the world has come to a point when it has to create a critical mass of spiritual consciousness for peace. Nothing else, not political, not economic. The main thing is, in our minds, we as a humanity should believe with nonviolence we can achieve it. With sacrifice, self-denial, we can achieve it. And only way is collective kind of collecting our own spiritual energies into a critical mass of consciousness. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Dr. Ari. And it just does bring to my mind to say to you and to the others, just as a reminder, that how this series is constructed is that at the end, on September 21st, which is the International Day of Peace, we'll be inviting all of the leaders and all of the networks who have been part of this series to join us for a peak event, a global attunement for peace, so that all of these energies that we've been raising and building through these calls can flow together into a stream to build this river of peace around the world. So I just wanted to remind people about that as well.
Beautiful. Thank you, David, and for that vision. And Dr. Arante, thank you for starting off this series during the telesummit, and for bringing your lifetime of wisdom and spiritual energies together with others around the world. Just thank you very, very much on behalf of everyone around the world who's listening now and who will listen to the recording later. So thank you.
Thank you. All the best to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And for those on the call now, please, we are welcome to continue meditating and participating in the Global Care Room. Tomorrow, we start the week on forgiveness, which is a core part of peace. And we will start that with Azeem Kamisa, who is just a profound leader, example of forgiveness. And Azeem lost his only son in 1995 to gang violence, and he chose the path of forgiveness and has been touching. Now he has reached millions of people around the world with his messages on forgiveness. And meditation is also a key part of Azeem's practice. So with that, my friends, everyone around the world, just and I can see that there are people in Netherlands and Canada and Barbados and across the United States who are in the Global Care Room, and I think there's even more who are on the call. Just want to thank everyone, and I hope you have a very peaceful rest of your day, whether it's Monday in Australia or whether it's Sunday, wherever you are. All right, may all of us continue to live in peace today and always. Thank you.